The coronavirus is creating enormous economic strain in the European Union. EU finance ministers finally reached a deal late last week on a $540 billion rescue package. It is not clear yet who will pay for it, pitting wealthier countries like Germany against poorer, harder-hit countries like Italy and Spain, and testing the solidarity of the EU. Joining us now from Paris is French philosopher and writer Bernard-Henri Lévy. Welcome. And the Italian prime minister has warned about failure of the European project. Do you agree with that? Is the European Union itself on the line here?
We are really edgy on this topic. On one side, yes, it's true that the European project could collapse. We see, for example, Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban taking advantage of the virus in order to embrace a project which is absolutely not matching with the European values and so on. On the other hand, you cannot deny that the European Union is saving the European economics. Without European institution, we probably would be, at the moment I'm speaking, economically dead. And the European institution have proved, on the contrary, to be alive and to be rather strong and to be able to react. The most efficient retaliation to the virus here came from the European institution. Madame Lagarde, who is now the head of the European Bank, she did the job.
But there is some hesitation on the part of the richer countries in Europe, including Germany, to be the bailout lender to the rest of Europe in this crisis. Do you see that? Do you think that some of the richer countries are going to be really skeptical about the idea of paying for everybody else?
There is hesitation, there is a debate, there is the old story of Germany unwilling. It was the same 5 years ago during the Greek crisis, unwilling to support the South and so on. But Germany has accepted sacrifices and has accepted some mechanisms of solidarity which are very opposite to its natural or customary habits and behavior.
What about economics aside? This crisis has made even states in the United States be a little worried about visitors from elsewhere. The state of Rhode Island started checking license plates from New York to tell people if they were coming in from another state that they had to quarantine for a period of time. What's happening in Europe with the borders? Is it still acceptable to go from one European country to another as it was?
It is still acceptable, but it is at stake. And this is not my least concern about this crisis. I'm concerned also with the way in which there is a sort of speed acceleration on processes which I don't like. For example, nationalism, petty nationalism, this is increasing. You have also some bad mud which is coming to the surface of the society. As always, when you have a plague, when you have a pandemic, you have some great acts of heroism, some great acts of bravery, but you have also the dark side of human nature, which is also appearing and coming up. And today, we have to fight, first of all, against the illness, but we have also to help the human bravery to prevail against this dark face which we often have. And I know that you have some people who would like every state in America to be sheltered, who would like in the Middle Age, you know, you had cities which were transformed into fortresses, you had gated communities. Gated community is exists in America already for rich people in Texas and so on. It could become in all the world a sort of new pattern, and this would be really another nightmare. The medicine, the science, the bravery of the doctors will prevail, will overcome the pandemic. After that, we will have to be concerned at what is left, what comes after. The world of tomorrow could be worse than the world of yesterday. We could have a rise of xenophobia, a progress of gated communities, and increasing amounts of inequalities, social inequalities, and so on. It is true that the world of tomorrow will be different from the world of today, but it will stand in the sense of the best or in the sense of the worst. We have to watch that very, very carefully.
What is your view of how the United States is handling the coronavirus crisis? It's now the country in the world with the most deaths so far.
Yes, and honestly, it is for someone like me and for all Europeans who love America, it's heartbreaking. And to see what is happening in New York, to see people not even being able to count and to bury properly their deaths, this is really something which breaks my heart. What I must say is that the civil society, as always, in the moments of big crisis in America, behaves bravely, with discipline and with courage. After that, you have in America, maybe more than in France, a debate on the evil and the remedy, what can be worse. You have to wonder, and this question is raised in the U.S., and it's right to raise the question, we have to think about how the cure could leave the world. If we have the first democracy in the world, the shining city upon the hill, collapsing, going back to the 30s with a real pushback on civil rights and so on because of the economic crisis, it would be really a disaster for the world. So today, to be honest, I pray for New York and I pray for America.
I want to ask you one more thing, Bernard Henri Lévy. When we speak to you often, we talk about other things, including the Kurds, which you've spent a lot of time focused on. How do you think that foreign policy is going to change? Or are you concerned about any bad actors around the world trying to take advantage of this situation and that we need to be thinking about that right now?
I am concerned by that because on one side, you have democracies for whom Americans, Europeans, every dead, every life is precious and every life is cherished. On the other side, you have other countries like Russia, like Turkey, or like China, who they don't care. They could not care less. And they are probably going to take advantage of this disaster to push their own advantage. And when I see China selling, by the way, not giving, selling masks to Europe and to America, of course it's a good thing, but I cannot prevent having a little uneasiness. When I see Putin bragging and pushing his forces in Iraq, in Syria, in the Middle East in general, in Ukraine, I cannot prevent myself from thinking that when we are completely busy, occupied, these bad guys, Putin, Xi Jinping, Erdogan, are taking advantage of this moment and of what they interpret as our weakness. It is not our weakness. It is our sophistication. It is our care of life. You tell me the Kurds. Today, the least we can say is that the Kurdish question is very, very far away in the list of the concerns of citizens of America and of Europe. And this is very bad because the Kurds can be tomorrow, and especially the refugee camps, victims number ones of the coronavirus, of the COVID-19. And number two, when we wake up and when we are victorious of the virus, we might have a camp of ruins in this part of the world.
That is Bernard Henri Lévy, the French philosopher and writer, joining us from Paris. Thank you so much, as always.
Thank you, my dear. Thank you.